Hello, and welcome to Kingdom Connection with Jensen Franklin. In this weekly podcast, we hope that you have an encounter with God through inspired teaching and discover practical ways to help you live a life of purpose. If you enjoy the teaching ministry of Jensen Franklin and would like to enjoy more resources, devotionals, including our weekly updates, we hope you'll visit our website at jensenfranklin.org.
And I want to introduce our speaker. I want Carissa and Ben to come up here. I want you to welcome Carissa and Ben Prescott. But I'm so glad to have this beautiful young couple. They just got married 8 weeks ago. And Ben has been on staff for many months there at the church. And he was a former Planet Shakers youth pastor in Australia. And of course, he fell in love with Carissa. And she did some good recruiting and brought him over. And now he is an amazing preacher. Listen, he's never been in the Bible Belt and preached in Atlanta. You got to give him some Southern hospitality. So stand up on your feet. First time we've ever heard him, and give Ben Prescott a big warm welcome.
Come on, let's give it up for Jesus Christ. Come on, if you love him, come on, let's praise him for a moment. Come on, let's thank him for everything that he's done. We praise you, God. Awesome. Well, you can take your seat. Thank you. I want to just preach just a real simple message for you. And I just want to call it this morning, under the influence. Under the influence. When you say the term under the influence in Australian culture, and I dare say it's similar here, when we hear that phrase, we immediately think of people that are under the influence of a substance. Alcohol, for example, drugs, for example. We hear that and we think under the influence. When we think of that, we get different pictures in our head, no doubt. We think back perhaps to our past before we were saved, or for perhaps people that we've seen before. I mean, you don't have to be alive too long to have bumped into someone at some stage in your life that's been under the influence. I know no one here ever has been in their life before Christ, but people that are under the influence, they stand out, don't they? Like when I was in Australia, I used to love going surfing, and often what we'd do is on a Saturday morning we would leave really early in the morning, and I would head down to the coast, and on my way to the coast I would drive through a particular nightclub precinct in Melbourne, and I would be driving through there. It'd be about 5 a.m. and you would see people walking down the street that had been out the night before. And you would see these people walking, and you could always tell, you know the type of people I'm talking about. You know where they've been because of the way in which they're acting. You know, when people are walking down the street, they always have a particular walk about them, don't they? They're always got a slur in their speech. They walk a bit different. They carry themselves a little bit different. When you see particular people like this, no one has to convince me or explain to me or tell me where they've been the night before, because it's all over them. My challenge to us this morning is when we leave church and we leave Forward Conference, do people know where you've been? When we go to the restaurant after church, can people identify those that have just been at Free Chapel? When you go back to your school, do you have to explain about Forward Conference and what it was? Or are your friends coming up to you saying, tell me what you were doing last night, because I knew you before Forward and now I see you now, and what's on you now is very different to the person that I saw just before?
See, one of the biggest problems in church is we're going out too often trying to preach something that people don't actually see us living. We preach the love of Jesus Christ, but they don't see it on us. We preach the power, but we have people talking about the power. The Bible talks about it, and it says the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. What we need is we need some Christians that walk out of church carrying a fresh encounter upon them in their walk, in their talk, in their action, that when people see it, they identify us straight away as someone who's been in church. See, what we have to understand is these moments we have in church, the moments where the power of God falls, the moments where we sense His presence. You know those moments where you sense the presence of God and the power of God? Do you understand that those moments are actually not to do with us? It's not about us. It's not about what God's trying to do in you. It's about what God wants to actually do through you. That you would carry something out of these services, that we would understand that what happens in Forward Conference, what an awesome opportunity. What an awesome moment. What awesome encounters people had. But what good are these encounters if they are merely just a moment that we have at a conference? What good is the encounter? What good is the verse that you read if the moment you close the Bible, you don't carry what you just read with you? What good is the touch of God that you had in worship if that touch of God is just about you getting the warm fuzzies? If you want the warm fuzzies, go find a heater and a blanket. It'll do the same thing. Well, we have to get this something within us and understand that God right now is pouring out on me, not just so that I feel better in this moment, but He's equipping me and empowering me to take what's happening right now to those that are outside the church doors, in my community, in my school, in my college, in my family, that we're called to affect change. We're called to affect change. We serve a supernatural God. We serve a supernatural God. And we have to be reminded that if we serve a supernatural God, then I am called to walk in the supernatural. That I am called to actually carry everything I experience in church, every prayer I pray, every moment I have, that it wouldn't just be a moment. How many times, you know, so many of you have probably grown up in church. Listen, we've heard the sermons. Well, we don't need, listen, if it's just a sermon, we don't need just a sermon. We need to have the encounter. We need to actually get that encounter in our heart, and that encounter would not just impact us in that moment, but that it would change us forever. That it would change the way we walk, change the way we talk. We have to be able to translate what happens in here and what happens in Forward and take it to a lost and dying world. That's the message of Jesus. That's the message of the gospel. The thing about when people are under the influence is what's actually happening under the influence. Think about that phrase. In the natural, if someone's under the influence of a substance, it changes their walk naturally. Their flesh cannot handle it. Normally, I would walk straight, but now I'm under the influence of a substance, so I can't walk straight. Well, could it be that when you get under the influence of Jesus Christ and the presence of God, that you could have so much of Jesus that your flesh actually cannot handle it? So where you would normally walk in doubt and fear, you're under the influence, so now you stumble into faith. What was fear and doubt now becomes faith. Where you would normally walk in lust, now you're walking in self-control. Where you would normally walk in whatever it is that the enemy tries to come at you, whatever it is that the enemy tries to bring your way, understand that the greatest way to defeat your flesh is to get so full of Jesus Christ that He guides your every step, because the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord, that He could actually order and guide your steps. That we could have Christians that all of a sudden they're so under the influence. It's like, bro, I used to be fearful. I used to walk in depression. What happened at Forward Conference? I walk out of Forward Conference. Now the path of depression, I can't even take that path, even if I wanted to, because I'm now walking. I find myself stumbling into peace. I find myself stumbling into joy. That's what happens when we get under the influence. That we could get under the influence of Him so much so that it would change who we are. That it would change how we walk. Sometimes we hear a message like this. And we get passionate. We love to get excited. But then how many know sometimes we hear these messages and sermons and we walk out, and then sometimes we're caught in this place of, okay, Pastor, how do I get what you're saying, but what does that practically look like? How do I, if you're not, some people would say, well, that's okay for you. You're a preacher. So you have the opportunity to get up and preach under the influence. You have the opportunity to preach. And people would say, I work in a secular environment. I can't preach in my office. I go to a secular school. I'm in college. I can't just start preaching to everybody. What does this look like practically? Well, let me show you in Galatians, because I believe Galatians shows us real simple. What does Galatians 5:22 say? But the fruit of the Spirit is love. We talk about this sermon, we're like, yes, let's go, let's do this, let's operate in power. But Galatians tells us that the very first fruit of someone living empowered by the Spirit will produce itself in love. Do you understand that this is the greatest weapon of warfare that we as the church have? How do I know that? Because it says, think about this. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. Think about all of the weapons that God could have used. Pleading the blood, the cross, the whole thing. Think about the weapon that God chose to save mankind with all of His power. The weapon He chose was love. Do you understand how powerful the love of Jesus Christ is? We hear it, and then we take it and we try and fit it into our earthly understanding and our earthly revelation of what love is. We think, okay, love means I just need to be nice to people. No. His love is much bigger than that. Understand that earthly love, natural love, has boundaries. I'll love people until they hurt me. I will love people until they let me down. I will love people that I'm comfortable loving. People that are in my circle. People that are in my clique. People that are from the same type of home as me. But those people, I find it is a bit harder there. See, that's where the love of the world is restricted. But the love of Jesus Christ will push past any boundary, any people group, any walk. Doesn't matter where you're from, doesn't matter what you're into, His love will meet you there. We have to get a revelation in this and understand how powerful it is. I just want to share this real quick story before we close. I'm going to wrap up. But I was in Melbourne a while back and I was about to go to a conference that we had starting that night, and I need to get a haircut. And so I Googled online hairdressers in Melbourne, and said the first sort of hairdresser that came up, I rang them and I said, I need to get a haircut. Can you fit me in? And they said, we just had a cancellation.
come down. And so I went down to this hair salon, and I went down there. I walked in there, and then this gentleman sort of comes bounding up to me, you know, quite theatrical, you know, like, hello. Yeah, you get it. Makes it easier when the crowd gets it straight away. You know, and he's like, hey, how are you? I'm like, good, bro. And he brings me in and introduces himself, and we sit down and we start talking, you know. And he just begins to talk, and turns out he owns the hair salon. Him and he's in a homosexual relationship. Him and his partner own that hair salon. And so we're just talking, you know, and then he says, he's just sharing about how they started and, you know, how long they've been, you know, owned that salon for, and just sharing his story. And then he looks at me and he says, what about you? What do you do? And then I thought, oh, this will be interesting. I said, well, I'm actually a pastor. And he's like, a pastor? He's like, well, understand, Australian culture is very secular. We don't have church as a part of our history, as a part of our traditional history. And so they can't, people in Australia find it difficult. If most people in Australia, if I was to say I'm a pastor, they wouldn't know what it is. And so he says to me, like a priest? And I said, well, yeah, sort of, if that works for you. And he's like, are you like a father? And I said, well, not really, but whatever. And then he's like, can I call you Father Ben? I said, sure, do that. And so we start talking, and he says to me, he's like, how did you get into that? He's like, I don't mean to offend you, but you actually seem quite normal. How did you become a... And I looked at him and I actually said to him, do you want to know the real answer to that? And he goes, yeah. And I looked at him and I said, dude, I had an encounter once with Jesus Christ. And I said to him, I grew up in a Christian home, ran away from church, didn't want anything to do with it. And I used to party, and I got really caught and bound up in alcohol addiction. And I came down to one particular night where I'd drunk a whole heap of stuff, taken pills, and I was so tormented in my mind. I was moments away from taking my own life. And I cried out to Jesus. And I said, God, if you're real, I need you. And I said to him, as crazy as this will sound, bro, the best way for me to describe it to you is I felt like the love of God just broke its way into that room on that night and just messed me up. And I knew God was real. And so in answer to your question, why do I do it, is how I got into it, is I want everyone to experience what I experienced. He puts his scissors down and he goes and gets his partner, brings his partner back, turns my chair around and says, I need you to tell him exactly what you just told me. And so he says, I tell him the story. His partner looks at the other guy and looks at him and says, I've heard of this before. And he's like, what do you mean? And then he looks at me, and it made me laugh. He looks at me and he says, have you ever heard of Benny Hinn? I'm like, what? Like, this is a dude in a hair salon in Melbourne. I'm like, yes. And like, how have you heard of Benny? And he goes, I've seen him really late at night on the television. And he says, what he does, and he's telling his partner, his partner's like, when do you watch Benny Hinn? He's like, it's really late at night. And he says, what happens is he gets people up and he prays for them. And when he prays for them, something happens and they fall over. So as he's telling me this story, this poor girl who works at the hair salon, he grabs her and says, you come here and you stand there. Now you stand behind her and I'm Benny Hinn. And he says, this is what happens. He prays and he says, now fall, fall, fall. And now you catch her, you catch her. And then he lays them on the floor. He's telling me this. I'm looking and I am losing it laughing. I'm like, you're crazy. He's like, I thought it was him pushing him over, but then I've seen it happen before when he doesn't even touch him. And he's like, everybody's so happy. He says, it's fabulous. He says, I love watching it. So we're like laughing, talking like this. And then as we're sort of just cutting up and talking, he asked me, he says, is your church like Sister Act, the movie? And as we're messing around and we're talking about it and just laughing and that, he stops me and he says to me very seriously, and he looks at me and he says, Ben, can I ask you something? And I said, what? And he said, would we be allowed to come to your church? And then when he said that to me, it hit my heart. And I looked at him and I said, what? Of course you can come to our church. And then I remember when I walked away, and I remember driving home, I remember crying in the car as I was praying, and I said, dear Lord, what have we as the church of Jesus Christ represented to a lost and dying world that they would feel like they have to ask to come to church? I said to him, bro, you come to church, you will sit on the front row next to me. He said, I can't wait. I'm going to wear my three-piece Louis Vuitton suit. I said, bro, you better wear that suit. I want to see it. Do we understand how powerful it is? What I found in church is we're really good at deciding what sin we're prepared to accept and what sin we're prepared to not accept. And people say, well, homosexuality, it's a sin. Absolutely. But you know what? So is gossip. But we will let gossip run riot through our church. Billy Graham said this, it's God's job to judge, the Holy Spirit's job to convict, and our job to love. What does a supernatural lifestyle look like outworked in your life, in your workplace, in your school, in your community? It's loving people. Love people and watch what the Holy Spirit will do. Because I honestly believe that God is about to break out such a fresh thing across our churches. If we were to do a survey outside and ask secular people, what's the first thing you think about when you think of church? What's the first thing you think about when you think of Christians? Would their response be, firstly, they're the ones that will love you unconditionally? Would that be their response? Because I believe if we were saved because of the love of Jesus, for God so loved, then shouldn't that be the first thing that we represent? The love of Jesus Christ.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Kingdom Connection. We hope this has been a blessing in your life, and we'll share this and other great resources with your friends. Visit JensenFranklin.org for new teachings and free podcasts, videos, and blogs. And be sure to connect with us via Twitter at Jensen or Facebook at Jensen Franklin. Thanks for listening to the Kingdom Connection Podcast, and have a great week.